Good morning. Let's get our Bibles turned to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings. We got a new set of lessons for this month, although I'm only teaching twice. Well, I thought last week to finish off part of our emphasis on evangelism. And I hope we get that in our mind. We got to the point where we're actually going to try to talk to a stranger in the sense of maybe walking on the street somewhere. It's a beautiful time of the year to do that. Just a beautiful time of the year. A garage sale, if you are into garage sailing, you're going to buy stuff. Why don't you bring a couple of gospel tracts with you? And as you purchase your an item you might have liked, or items, and you can go ahead and give the person that maybe is hosting that garage sale or yard sale a gospel tract. It was exciting yesterday to be a part of the Philippine Field Day. I never thought I would celebrate Philippine Independence Day in the United States, let alone in Eden, New York. So I was forced to wear my Filipino pen because today is the actual date of the independence. It's June 12th. So if you remember, June 12th is when they celebrate their Spanish liberation from the Spanish being almost 400 years of conquest. And we helped them a little bit of that. And then, obviously, World War II Japanese came, and we helped them. And in fact, for a year, we had them as a territory, and they fought their independence from us. That's something that's not known, the 100-day war we had between the Philippines and the United States. But it wasn't a war in a sense of bloodshed. It was more of diplomatic. And finally, they said, we want to be our own nation. And so we granted them July 4th, 1946, their independence from us. But for a long time, as a schoolboy going to school, that's when we celebrated Independence Day in the Philippines. But recently, as a missionary, they've changed that. And they said, we decided to go back to the Spanish War because the Americans never really put oppression on us. So they decided they go back to when they were actually oppressed, and that was during the Spanish. And so that's the change of the date, June 12th. And so all the Filipinos, kamutinhan, nagparty na siguro mo no. And they're partying today, all right? Just like we do on July the 4th. Anyways, they told you 1 Kings? All right, 1 Kings. Let's go to 1 Kings, chapter number 3. We're going to talk about the wisest men, except for the Lord, but deemed to be the wisest men, wrote the book of Proverbs. We're going to talk about Solomon. And I want to talk about a word, discernment. Discernment. I want to talk about that maybe this week, next week, for Father's Day. I'm invited to go to preach somewhere else for Father's Day. I'm bummed out about that. I'm going to steal tithes now. I already see a few. But there's no gifts over here. Man. And my family's not here. I'll ask my mom, my dad, maybe steal me a few. And but I'll be back that Sunday night. I'll be back Sunday night to celebrate with us Father's Day. And I'm trying to do all of that before I become officially the pastor. Because then I can't leave on Father's Day. That would be bad, right? Pastor's gone again. Where in the world is he? 1 Samuel chapter number, 1 Kings chapter number 3, we're talking about Solomon. So next week, we have a special speaker. Brother Mike is going to be here. And the Lord has laid something in his heart to teach us next week. And then the following week, I'll finish this lesson. So we'll take 2 points today, talking about discernment. And the idea today is I want to emphasize in our life that we want to desire discernment. First of all, we want it. If you don't have discernment, the best thing you can do right now is desire discernment. I want it. I want to have discernment. Okay? And we're going to describe discernment a little bit here. And it's not exhausted in this lesson. I hope maybe this is maybe a taste for you what discernment is. And maybe you dive into the scripture yourself and learn about discernment. I'm sure Pastor has preached about this many times. I know he's got the book of Proverbs he dealt with. Maybe pick up a booklet when he went through the Proverbs one by one, chapter by verse by verse. Remember that? And maybe grab that again and look at it for yourself. 1 Kings chapter number 3. And this is the wisest man that ever lived except for the Lord Jesus Christ, given that reputation being the wisest man. Verse number 5, we'll start there. The wisest man that ever lived did not become wise by accident. Okay, that's a thought to put in your mind. The wisest man that ever lived did not become wise by accident. Okay, it wasn't as Moses. All right, he asked God to give it to him. We'll read that today. He asked God to give it to him. If we want to become a wise, mature Christian, then we must desire it as well. We must have that desire, willingness to be mature. I hope that's the case if you've been saved for a while now or you're newly saved. Once you're saved, your desire is that I would grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, being perfect more and more as the day approaches, as the day of Christ comes to pick us up and take us home with him to live forever in heaven. Our desire while we're on earth is to grow, to mature as a Christian. And so discernment is part of that growth. It's part of a sign to a mature Christian. They have discernment. Who would not want discernment? Man, you don't know what you're missing if you don't even understand what I'm trying to say. Discernment is the ability for you to make wise choices. It's an innate ability that God gives us, and it's a gift he wants to give each Christian that asks for it. And you can make some judgment, all right? Judgment is simply decision-making. We have to make decisions every day, do we not? Some of them are major decisions we make. Some of them are life-altering decisions. Some of them are minute decisions. What breakfast food I'm going to eat today? Although accumulation of that decision can result in health issues someday. So decisions we make every day as a Christian, I hope we are discerning before we make those decisions. And all right? And so why did Solomon ask this? Because it was given a big responsibility. When we play down the responsibility we're given, then we neglect to ask for discernment. When we feel like what we have to do, what our obligations are, what our purpose are, what our goals are, if we deem them very, very little in value or importance in our life, then we will pass by discernment and say we don't need it. Because I can do this by myself. I know how to do this. We got some visitors coming from yesterday. Praise the Lord. 1 Kings chapter number 3 and verse number 5. Look at the wisest men ever lived. You want to welcome those that are coming in. We're in 1 Kings chapter number 3 and verse number 5. It says in verse number 5 of 1 Kings, it says to us, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. If God were to ask you that question today, personally, I wonder what you would ask. What you would ask. God told Solomon, I want you to ask me, what do you want? Very, very, very appealing question from God, right? Imagine if God asked you that. By the way, he is asking you that. He asks you that every day. He knows the needs you have. If he knows the number of hair you have, would you not think he's caring about the cares of your life every day? He says, I will help you. I can bear your burden. Let's pray as we continue, before we continue here. Lord, bless us today. Thank you, Lord, for yesterday and the fruit that even yielded today. Lord, in our very eyes, you are working. And Lord, we're excited. We're thankful. We're blessed. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we look at discernment, may not look at it as something undesirable, but it be something that we would want. That we would say, after hearing it today, we would say, I want more of that. God, give me what you gave Solomon. We ask that you bless as I teach. Hide me behind your word, Lord, for I know nothing. And I don't want to teach anything of my own opinion, but of your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue. Verse number 6. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness. You know, David had a turbulent life because of a mess he made. But this is a nice, nice comfort to know that there was a son that looked at his life and said, God was with my father. Fathers, Father's Day is next week. I'm not going to teach. I'm not going to preach to you. I'm going to put a little thought in your life here. If you have discernment, more than likely, you will pass it to your children. So desire it for yourself. Make the right choices. The number one choice, if you're a father today, is make God your God. Make him the Lord of your life. Ask him, if you're lost, that he would be your Savior. It says here, according as he walked before thee in truth. Walked is an action word. And Solomon notices that walking with God. What a testimony. And in righteousness. And in uprightness of heart with thee. Solomon got to see his daddy's heart. Fathers, are we showing our kids our heart? And if we are showing our kids our heart, what is in our heart? Because it will produce a fruit. It will come out. All right? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. All right? And so, and thou hast kept him this great kindness. Thou hast kept for him this great kindness that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is day. So what is happening here? Solomon is about to take the kingdom from David. Remember how that transpired when the first king, Saul, it was not a good transition. This is the first good transition the kingdom is going to experience, and it didn't last long, but this is the good transition. Probably the only one. Maybe from Solomon to Rehoboam, but we know there's a problem there. And Solomon said, verse 7, and now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And boy, oh boy, Solomon was not like David. And I am but a little child. That's what Solomon described himself. You see the great responsibility placed upon his soul. Shoulder, and you see how he responded because he knew how important his responsibility is now. And he looked at himself, I am not able. I am not mature. I'm a child. 1 Corinthians 13:11 talks about when I was a child, I understood as a child, I spoke as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And what is childish things? Foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child. Okay? In the book of Proverbs, he wrote about that. Now look at it again here. Verse number 7, I know not how to go out or to go in. Have you ever thought about what that meant? We should. As we read our scriptures, we need to think about some of these things. Solomon says, I don't know how to go out. I don't know how to come in. And it's giving you a light of what discernment is. I want to try to hit a few thoughts about discernment, the principles of it. It's going to be a lifelong pursuit. Discernment is a lifelong pursuit. Because the day you die is when you stop making decisions. But now when you're living, I don't care how old you are, how young you are, you're making decisions. And as you are making decisions, I hope you execute discernment. Discernment. All right? Now let's continue here. Verse number 8. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen. And look at the ownership he places, not on himself as an authority. A good authority does not own those that are subordinate to him. Just like I realized that as a father, my wife and I, our children are heritage of the Lord. They are God's. And we made a dedication for all of our children. Abigail was here. I sat here. I think it was a white barong I was wearing, and Pastor was here officiating that, and my father, my mother, even Andrew was here, and we stood here for the pastors, the representative of God. He's not God, but he's representing God. And we said to the Lord, here's our daughter. Do with her whatever you please. We give it back to you. It's a practice we do. We don't do baptism. Baby baptism. We don't believe in that. It's not scriptural. And there's a pamphlet Pastor wrote, very good one, very explanatory about that. If you want to talk to me about that, you can. But we do baby dedication. And we did Micah and Philip in the Philippines. And the mindset was, it was a ceremony, yes. It was a ceremony, but it was to give God the ownership of our children. We do not own our children. According to the scripture, it's very biblical what I'm saying here. And we're going to do Mariah. I just talked to Pastor. I said, Pastor, I got another one for you. And while she's behaving, we need to do baby dedication. So we'll work on that. I talked to Pastor yesterday about that. So in Father and we are stewards. Remember that. There's a difference between ownership and stewardship. A steward is a manager of what somebody owns that is given to their responsibility. Solomon, as the king, realizes these are not my people. You are the owner of these people. You have made them, not we ourselves. You made these people, and so you own them. You know, coming in as going to be the new pastor here, Lord willing, with a vote, this coming April, next year, I look at the people and I say, I don't own you, but I am a steward of God, and you are under my stewardship. Meaning, I want to give you a better resurrection. As the new pastor, I want what pastor started and build upon and see you resurrect and know God, see God someday and said, it'd been good because I got to know Pastor Chris. All right? That's my goal. The same thing, Pastor, I've said many years. Not changing any of that. The thought is this. I don't own the church as the pastor, but I'm a steward of it. I don't own my children, but I'm a steward of my children. And Solomon is giving us this thought here. As you read now, look at it. Verse number 8 again. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Okay? Number 9. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart. That's another key thought. What discernment is. There's some understanding. All right? There's some understanding. You don't understand everything, but there's some understanding that comes. And when you act upon on the little understanding you have by faith, God gives you greater understanding. Guys, there's some things that God says do. And I don't understand it, but for one thing I understand, God said it. And it makes sense a little bit in my mind because I don't know the whole picture. And guess what I did? I stepped out by faith and said, whoa, I'll do this. And then down the road, I look back and I have greater understanding down that way than when I started the decision. Down the road, guys, there was a point that Elizabeth and I were not married. There was a point I had to make a choice if she was the girl to pursue or not. Guess what? In retrospect, 13 years looking back, I said, man, I did good. I did good. That's when I understand she's the right person for me. And every day as we get together, as we try to enrich each other's life, and as we try to cultivate, work on our relationship, God produces children. And now, if Elizabeth and I were not united, we would not have these four children. And our life has become more, wow. I'm so glad by faith I listened to the counselors that I had, human counselors God used, and God's word, and God leading, and I made the right choice. 13 years retrospect, I can look back and say it was good. Was there any valleys? Yes. Do you want to talk about them? No. Why? It's not going to help you. It's not going to help you. It's not going to help you. I just say that to let you know it's not always been sunshine. Okay? But as a whole, I understand more now, 13 years removed from the decision I made 13 years ago. There's things in your life that you're going to do. Going to the Philippines, making the decision to be a missionary and going to the Philippines, 10 years removed, I look back now and say it made sense. It made a whole lot of sense why we went to that route. Because now there's a whole family in church, and that whole family is inviting their friends to church now, getting baptized, getting saved, getting joined to the church. They need a new building. They're running out of room. Praise the Lord that I went. Correct? I made that decision. Discernment. He said this, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge. And judge means make choices. Decision making is the word judge. Okay, it's not like I'm going to put a judgment upon you. This is to make choices, to judge thy people, that I may discern, there's the word, between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? By the way, all of us have opinions. In fact, any promotional event or we want to do in the church, guess what? I know everybody that's not agreeable with that. That makes sense. Why? Because we're unique individuals, right? It's just part of life. But guess what? There's only certain people that their decision matters because they're in place of authority. And so we have to understand that. At home, I have 5 people now, including myself, that have differences of opinion when it comes to food. They don't like certain foods. But who makes the call finally? The one that's in authority. And the church goes the same way. So not disregarding people's wants and wishes, but it's also my responsibility as the dad at home to make the final choice. In the church, it's the pastor. So give him a little slack. Okay? He has to make choices. And you know what? A lot of times I know this. If I make this choice, I already know. Someone over here is not going to be happy with it. And if I tweak it a little bit, they might be okay a little bit. But somebody over here is going to say, what? It's just the way life goes. Because we're people. That's part of life. Anywhere you go, that comes with that. And thy servant in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen. So he's seen the responsibility. Now he's looking at himself. I'm incapable to make the judgment, to make the decision. I'm looking at some of the decision making I'm making now. And I'm only the associate pastor. And I'm looking at it like, no. Because I don't want to be rejected. I don't want to be looked at and say, he's a meanie. He's a, what? He's retarded. I know if I should say that. Let's not say that anymore. I'm learning culture again back in the Philippines, so please forgive me. But he might have made a dumb move or something. Maybe he didn't calculate that better. Look at verse number 9. Give therefore thy servant understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people? Verse 10. And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Remember, God asked them, what do you want? All right? Remember verse 5? Ask what I shall give thee. So with this well speech, we find here in verse 10 that the Lord is pleased with this speech. And it's a prayer. They're praying. They're talking to each other. And look at verse number 11. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing. What is this? An understanding heart. Discernment. To discern. That's what he asked. Wisdom, what we call it today. And it's part of wisdom. Look at it says here, verse 11, God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life. He wasn't selfish. And discernment, whoo, is so good. Because you know what discernment is? Discernment is selfless. Discernment is to make sure I make the right choice by you. You're looking about somebody else. Look at his heart. He was not looking to himself. What do I need now as the king? But he's saying, what do your people need for me as a steward of a king to help them? Okay, you see the principle there. It was not of selfishness. It was more of selflessness. He's asking this. And it says, you didn't ask for long life, verse 11. Neither has asked riches for thyself. He didn't ask for riches. By the way, God gives long life and God gives riches. So don't down people that are rich. They're not all bad. There's some very good people that were rich and wealthy. We know Abraham. You guys ever read about Abraham? He was a wealthy man. If you read the scriptures about Abraham, he was a very wealthy man. Okay? Look at this again. Behold, I have done according, verse 11, neither has asked riches for thyself, nor asked the life of thine enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. God was moved by his prayer, and God says, I will grant it to you. So I'm saying to you again, as a plug here, if you desire discernment, ask God that giveth unto all men wisdom. All right? He's the source of wisdom. He's the wealth of wisdom. Ask him, and he will give it to you. He will give it to you that you will have discernment, because discernment is so needed when you're making vital and very, 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 very critical decisions in life. Who am I going to marry? That's a critical decision. That's a life-altering decision. Depends on who you end up marrying. Where do I live? What kind of career would I need? And where should I minister to God? Those are big life-altering decisions. And so, am I going to buy this house? Am I going to go in debt? Am I going to do this? Am I going to do that? Decisions is upon us, whether we like it or not. In fact, sitting and not making a decision is a decision of indecision. Life is going to pass you by. If you say, I don't want to make any of those choices, that's too much. That's too much responsibility. I don't want it. I'm going to sit around. And guess what? By sitting around, you made your choice. You made your choice not to be involved in life. Not to do anything. It's a decision you just made. And life will pass you on by. It's not going to stop for no one. Man, I wish my daughter does not turn any more older than she is. Because I know I have to make some choices. There's going to be a little dude. And then either text me probably is what's going to happen. Hey, I want to talk to your daughter. I'm like, talk to me face to face, dude. Right? Man, I can't. I don't want that, but it's going to come. Ah. All right, here we go. We need discernment. And it says right here, verse number 12, lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. Now that's a bummer, right? We can't be as wise as Solomon. But it doesn't say we can't ask for some wisdom. All right? That God is a liberal God in this sense, okay? Not the liberal we're talking about. He's a liberal God in the sense that he will give to those that ask. He will give you wisdom. When is the right time to have a child? God will give it to you. When? He'll tell you. Ask. Ask in faith. Ask. Ask God. Faith and wisdom, they're not separate entity. They're together. They're together. The word of God is wisdom, but to apply the word of God takes faith, because we don't see the God of the book literally with our eyes. It has to be by faith. We don't do it by sight. We do it by faith because he has said it in his words. I will apply it. That is wisdom. Faith and wisdom collide. They're one and together. Don't separate the two. Okay? Don't separate the two. Now, hear this. Verse number 13. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all the days of, unto thee all thy days. Last verse. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, there's a condition. You see the word if. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes, my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. And there's verse 15, it says Solomon awoke. So this is happening in a dream, but he was talking to God, and what we call that today is prayer, okay? He was praying. Because of Solomon's request for discernment and wisdom, God was pleased. Thus God also gave him riches and honor. What a kingdom Solomon had. He was, the utensils they used were gold, okay? During his reign, and I believe there was no enemies during his reign. He reigned in peace. What a kingdom he had. He was used by God to pen the book of Proverbs. We call that the book of wisdom. What is discernment from what we read here? He asked for discernment. He asked for an understanding heart. He asked to discern between what is good and what is bad. And here's we find discernment defined for us in a dictionary now. We're going to elaborate that on scripture here. In the dictionary, it means to test. All right? It means to examine. It means to investigate. It means to search out. Now, we believe in what we call courtship here when you're becoming related in relations to finding a spouse. And that's an old word, but what we mean is before you get involved with someone, you did some fact checks about that someone. Because the Bible tells us don't marry an angry man. Learn about what you're getting into. Because it's a lifelong pursuit. This is a lifelong decision. When you get married, we believe, according to Scripture, there is no ending of that except for death, do us part. And so when you get together, it's a life-altering decision. You become new. You're a new family. You're a new unit. And as you do that, learn about each other before you make that decision. And sometimes, you know, we don't have that opportunity now. We made the decisions. Well, God is still able to help us. But we have to have more humility now. Okay, I had a car I bought. I brought it up. I need to get it registered. It's got a ding on the right side here on the bumper. It looks awful on that side. If you don't look at that side, it looks great everywhere else. If you look in the driver's seat, especially if my wife's driving, it's beautiful. But on the right side here, it's got a ding. Now, if it had no ding, for me to make it look good and maintain its goodness, I probably just have to wash it. So use a sponge or something like that. And then wax it. So it's a lot of gentle movement that I'm doing. But because it was not meant to be dinged, because it was a mistake that was done, they backed into a pole and it dented that bumper and it pushed it in. That's a big crack. And it's dented in, pushed in. I hate that. It looks awful. And so what I did was I had to get a heat gun, plug it in on the wall, and use some gentle heat on it. All right? Now I'm doing more to get this back to normal. Because it shouldn't have been dinged. That was not the design. Okay? So I'm doing that. And then I have somebody below me using the handle of the hammer and pushing it up. Pushing it up. It didn't come the first time. So it was a lot of pressure. A lot of motion trying to do this. And then finally it popped out. It did not look like the left side. You'll see that. I'll demonstrate when I bring it into church. You'll see it. I'm going to drive it right here and go down that way. And then on the left side, it looks great. On the right side, you know something happened. And there was a scar that's left behind. And so discernment, sometimes if you have it before you make the decision, you will prevent yourself from backing into something and looking the way you are. But if you did back up, there's still a solution. Guess what? There's a collision place I'm going to call if I'm really OCDing about this and spending a lot more money. I'm going to fix that. There's Bondo. There's zip ties. I'm watching YouTube videos. And I don't understand the language of these guys, but they know what they're doing. And so that's what's going to happen. But you notice so much more force and effort and energy was exerted to fix something that shouldn't have happened. But it's not without hope. But I'm just giving you the comparison. So desire discernment so that it will protect you from some of the mistakes that are hard to fix. That will take more patience on your part. The car had to take it more. On that side, this side, I just kind of like, oh, it's okay. This side is like, I have to do this to get it back to where it should be. Okay? So discernment helps us search things out, find things out. Why did I not buy a house right away? Because I'm searching things out. I'm looking at it. I'm looking at the interest rate. I'm making sure it's the right place. I don't want to spend too much on insurance or not insurance, taxes. I got things to do in the Philippines, so I'm searching things out. Why took you so long to make a decision to take the opportunity to be the next pastor? Because I'm exercising discernment. I'm asking God, is this the right thing? Show me, God. Show me, is this the right move? Hastiness sometimes makes us do impulsive decisions that lead to sometimes not a good thing, okay? Sometimes it's not a good thing what happens when we are impulsive and we just make a decision right away. Now, some people, liking people like us, take too long to make a decision. There's a difference when your fear is hindering you from making the decision. That's totally different, okay? But when you're asking God for wisdom, making the decision, you can take the time. Take the time because you are making that decision. Okay? You're still making the decision. But you need the time. All right? You need the time. But fear hinders some people and they lack faith. But their fear is hindering them. So those are different things. I don't have time to deal with that. So discernment tests it, examine things, investigate things, search things out. Look at the first point today, and we're going to finish with two. We're almost done here. Number one I see here, discernment is a mark of a mature Christian. A Christian that exhibits maturity in his Christianity or hers is the fact that they have discernment. Okay? And it doesn't mean you got saved a year ago, 2 years ago, you can't have discernment. It's different in the physical growth. If you want discernment, ask Solomon. He said in the passage, I am but a child. But he said, Lord, give me an understanding heart. Make it a part of your prayer every day. God, give me understanding heart. I am making some major decisions in life, and I need discernment. I need discernment. How do I treat my wife? How do I approach her in this matter? How do I discipline my children? How do I empower my children? How do I enrich their life with teaching them character but not being so mean but yet being stern? How do I love them but yet not a pushover? How do I do all of this? How do I balance it? Ask God for discernment. Ask God, God, I need it. I need it when I need to be strict, when I don't need to be strict. I need it when I need to calm down. It's okay. It's fine. They're kids. They're kids. They're going to get dirty. Right? It's a mark of a mature Christian. How do I know that? Well, the Bible tells us. If you want to turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter number 5, the Bible tells us. Hebrews chapter number 5 and verse number 14. It says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. This is talking to Christians. This is talking, if you're saved today, you're a born-again child of God, this is what God wants you to have in your own life, in your personal life. You need to have this discernment in Hebrews where it says that you, because of reason of use, your senses, you're heightened, and you know and you discern between good and evil. All right? Decision-making. Decision-making. And sometimes when you have made some decisions and you see the pattern of the decision, you see the principle in that decision, it helps you to make the next decision. So waiting on God to get a house in New York, I have a little bit of a backstory in the Philippines already when I never realized I would own my own home in the Philippines, but I do today. So if God was able to do that then, by the principles of the Word of God, not going into debt, people prayed and people gave. And so I worked and saved the money that I needed and was responsible to pay for it. And so what happens is then, that faith and wisdom and decision-making then, I'm going to do that here because I already learned it here. So I'm going to bring it right along and say, here in New York, if God provides a house in Cebu, Philippines, which is astronomically impossible because of their market, it's tourist trap, it's a tourist place, he can do it certainly here in Western New York. Why? Because I already had a decision I made here 5 years, 6 years ago. And I'm sure some of those principles are going to be here. And guess what? It's seemingly like that. It's not going to be right away. It's not going to be when I want. And there's going to be discomfort. And there's going to be inconveniences. Try it. Have 4 kids in a little tiny place. And they want a dog. Anyways. There was times I would not go out of my apartment that we lived before because I didn't have enough money to pay the rent as a missionary. We had those days in the early days. Yeah. We sneaked in our groceries because we had enough money to buy food. We can't starve. But I have to drive by the owner of the house. And if I walked, she's going to hound me. So I get in my car and drive away, come back and pull back. I never do that, but I pull it all the way back, open the door, Elizabeth, chuck those groceries in there, close it back, park the car, shut the door. Because she knows we have a grocery full of stuff. I have money. Why am I paying her? And then God providing a house. You know, it's going to happen in his time, right? It's going to happen in his time. All right. Quickly, last point, we're done. Number two, it's knowing the difference between right and wrong. Discernment, according to Charles Spurgeon here, you know what? We don't have the time. We'll finish it next week. Lord, the time has expired. Thank you for the people that you've given to our church here. Thank you for the visitors that are here, helping to feel welcome. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.